You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Engel, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Some of you are putting those waivers in. Some of you woke up this morning with brand new players on your team, like me. I'm excited to talk about those guys. I'm excited to talk about some headlines. I am excited to go over some rankings. It's going to be a fun day here on the Roto Experts. Scotty, good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you guys. We are already at rotoexperts.com. Everything you need, our waiver articles, our stock reports, everything you need. The in-season exclusive Edge Fantasy football package is now available at the free radio at checkout for a special discount.
We got those lineup ranks yet?
Lineup ranks for Jake this morning and for me later today.
All right. Fair. Yeah. Fantastic. Looking forward to those. Matt Modica, good morning, sir.
Good morning. It is Waiver Wire Wednesday for me, and one of the most mind-erasing days because, you know, I go back and forth between prices. I don't care if anybody tells you they have the exact science on this. There is none.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I can't imagine there's an exact science to anything. So in my mainstream leagues here, my waiver wires went through last night. And it's a mainstream league, as I mentioned, and you kind of do it, and then you have a first-come, first-serve the rest of the way. And, you know, I made the pickups, and I'll go through the prices with you, the guy spent. We'll play a little guessing game here. But I'm almost more interested in the players that mainstream players have dropped after the first weekend. Not me, Scott, don't worry. The mainstream players have dropped rather than even who they picked up. You know, they picked up the guy we've talked about over 2 days here. It's who they dropped that's really interesting. Corey Parson, he's the fantasy executive. Good morning, sir.
How you doing this morning, Greg? How's everybody doing? I'm, yeah, getting ready for
are
the
you,
first.
How are you feeling?
Huh? Oh, goodness. I'm here.
You're looking like a young Billy D.
So. Well, thank you. I appreciate
it. On the outside, everything's good.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, on the outside, it's fine. I'm here, so you know what I mean? We're going to try to fight our way, and just hit myself in the mouth with the microphone. We're going to try to fight our way through this one, you know what I'm saying? I'm not optimal. Fantasy executive?
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, but I'm fighting through.
Is that your low injury risk, high injury risk?
I'm high injury risk today, but I'm fighting
think
through.
The performance factor is above average, though.
I'm fighting through because this is the first waiver wire run of the year, and the people need the fantasy executive.
I think they do too. I think Scotty probably needs the fantasy executive.
Yeah, I'll help him out.
After he lost to me?
Yeah. Okay. Like that. Yeah. All right.
In my Staten Island Home League, Tariq Cohen went for $51.
Yeah.
That's half of the budget, right?
That doesn't surprise me. I actually, in both of the leagues that I'm participating in, I wanted to go over that with you guys this morning, Tariq Cohen was owned in both leagues. I don't have a good example for that. But I do have a good example for Kerwin Williams. I do have a good example for Buck Allen. We'll talk about how much you should be spending on these guys with the latest news on David Johnson and, of course, Danny Woodhead. But as I said, I'm more interested even in the players that were dropped after 1 week. I explain and I get into it here next on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
As I said, but players have picked up, sure, they're interesting. But they're not nearly as interesting as the players that were dropped. Here are the big two players, at least in one of my leagues here, that were dropped after week number one. The first, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins was dropped in my league, and I'm going to have to bid on this guy. And now I'm not, now see, like, I know, Matt, you were saying just a second ago, like, this is the one of the toughest days for you trying to figure out the bids. This gets even tougher for me when a guy like Kirk Cousins is out there. Like, what the hell am I going to do? You know, like, this is the league that I drafted that bum Andrew Luck in, and I'm like, what did I need? I needed something like this to happen, right? Like, Kirk Cousins just show up on the waiver wire and be like, oh my God, you just saved my life, right? So that's what I'm dealing with. Someone dropped along the same lines of Andrew Luck. They dropped Dante Moncrief. They don't want to deal with that. They don't want to deal with that. Now that's really interesting because they're kind of just jump. They're kind of just playing sunk cost a little bit, right? We said bench your Colts. Don't deal with this nonsense. This dude just dropped him. So those are the two that really stood out to me. And Corey, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's crazy right there. That after one performance, that son would end up on the waiver wire. People have to be a little bit more, you know, you don't spend all of July and August putting your mind, thought, and what players you want, and then the first week of damn September, you put him on the waiver wire after he has a subpar performance. So, yeah, Greg, you have to go out there and put a bid on him, especially if you got that situation. I just don't think you have to bid as high for quarterbacks as you do for position players.
Yes, so I agree with that. And it's funny because my defense is the Los Angeles Rams in this particular league, and obviously they performed very well last week. They played the Redskins here this weekend. So if I get Kirk Cousins, I'm going to have Cousins going against my defense, which is very annoying, obviously. But
I don't think that makes a huge difference, though, necessarily. I've had people ask that question all the time.
Sure.
You know, Cousins can throw three touchdown passes, you know, and one interception. They could still, you know, get a bunch of sacks and maybe, fumble recovery, et cetera. With Cousins, you know, he had 15 points in his first week. The whole offense is not quite in sync yet, and it's another tough matchup this week, but I think he's going to be fine over the long haul. And who are your quarterbacks in that league?
Carson Palmer and Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I think, you know, you it's academic.
That's Greg. You got to do that.
Yeah, Palmer and pick up Cousins.
Oh, I got it.
And also Kirk Cousins, and, you know, a guy that I've been very high on, Terrell Pryor. Pryor catches that easy touchdown pass.
Totally changed.
Pryor's automatic. He gets like 20 points on the week. Cousins' day looks a hell of a lot better. Though Cousins did make plenty of mistakes.
Fumbled twice, intercepted once. And, that's this kind of stuff that nobody really can predict. A drop pass that just happens within the flow of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally understandable. I want to know who the hell dropped Kirk Cousins in this league. Oh, that makes sense. This guy shouldn't have dropped him. I would have just traded it.
Who's his other quarterback?
Russell Wilson. I would have just traded for Kirk Cousins. I would have given you some piece of crap for him. No problem.
Probably could have traded Cousins. I mean, Moncrief, at this point, he probably would have had a package and a deal.
Well, Moncrief's a different. Moncrief's a different guy.
Moncrief is a poison pill.
Yeah, so that's why it doesn't bother me that he dropped him. I think it's a great line. Yeah. Like,
I
think it's very interesting he dropped Moncrief because he doesn't want to worry about it anymore. I don't blame him. Like, I do not blame that drop at all because that's only going to aggravate you. Matt Moody is not enjoying his coffee this morning.
No, this inferior coffee must go.
All right, so that's
cut it. Cut it.
Matt, you were saying during the break someone interesting in your league was dropped as well.
Yeah, somebody dropped Gio Bernard, and I've been continually saying that Jeremy Hill is fake news, but Gio is going to have a role regardless. I mean, I still believe in Joe Mixon. I think he will pop eventually. This is a very tough matchup coming off of week one against Houston. I think the defense will rise up on Thursday night. But, I mean, Gio Bernard, when healthy, he's been in a PPR league. He's been a top 20 back. So I will be, as a Danny Woodhead owner, I'll be looking at him.
Yeah, you know, I think as you should, with losing Danny Woodhead, Giovanni Bernard, the obvious and fair replacement. Okay, so with the logical replacement, outside of a guy like Gio Bernard, if he was dropped, is, of course, Buck Allen. And we talked a lot about Buck Allen on yesterday's show. The latest on Danny Woodhead was, you know, out 4 to 6 weeks. And, of course, they followed up with that and said, well, it might be closer to 6 to 8 weeks. Given that it's Danny Woodhead, I'm going to take the 6 to 8 weeks timeline because, well, he's always injured and he comes back and gets injured again. Now, Corey, of course, you were out here saying,
I think the season's over.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you said that before the season started.
Yeah, I think the season's over.
So,
which is sad because you see, after one series, I think he had almost as many points.
Yo, it was crazy. He was rolling. He was doing the Danny Woodhead thing, and then he did the Danny Woodhead thing.
It's Keenan Allen 2016, right? The six catches in the first half or whatnot.
Yep.
So, okay, Buck Allen goes obviously in both of these leagues, and I was very interested to see what he would go for, because that timeline, 4-6, 6-8, splitting time with Terrence West, I was wondering what percentage of people's budget would go. Both of these leagues that I'm in, that I have in front of me here, were out of $100 rather than $1,000. How much do you think they went for, Corey? He went for.
Buck
Allen.
Young Buck Allen out of $100.
Yeah.
Buck Allen probably should have went about between 19 and 22.
Okay. So you're saying 19 to 22. Okay. Scotty.
Buck Allen out of $100. I'm going to say $37.
$37.
I'm going to say $12.
Okay. So, Corey, you crushed it in one of them. One of them went for $20. You could not have been more on. You went for exactly $20 in one league. I had the second highest bid at $17.
Okay.
All right.
You
go.
You in the right area.
I'm in the right area. I was like, you know what? If I get it for $17, I'm very, very satisfied. If I don't, no big deal.
Yeah.
It was $20. I'm like, okay, you know what? That wasn't a bet. If this guy wanted him at $20,
No problem.
Does not bother me. That's one league. In the other league, he goes for $27. And again, I was the second highest bid at $18. For some reason, I bid $1 more in this league. I don't know why. I was the second highest bid at $18 in this one. So I valued him, I felt like, right, to be honest with you. I was right there in each and just missed out on Buck Allen. How good, Matt, can Buck Allen be? And how much of a priority is he for you?
I mean, it's all going to be dependent on if he is going to be the pass catching back, which I'm going to assume that to be. I mean, I would rather have him than Kerwin Williams going forward. Tariq Hill is obviously the number one guy just because of the pass catching ability, and I think the Bears realize Howard's not a pass catcher. So for me, it's going to be pretty much dependent. I probably would have went the route you went. Probably I would have went like $19. Sure. I like to go just if I don't like to do like 14. You know, always do over 15. If you don't do 14.
Okay,
do $16 in my opinion.
Sure.
If somebody else puts a $15 bid, you have him beat. So I mean, you have to think he's got to play. What are the other options? Terrence West, I don't see him just running, you know, getting 30 touches every week.
Now, you said just a moment ago you'd rather have Buck Allen than Kerwin Williams. I think most people probably agree with that. That Kerwin Williams, given that the Arizona Cardinals re-signed Chris Johnson, given that Andre Ellington out-snapped Kerwin Williams over the weekend, given that they signed DJ Foster, of the Patriots practice squad, most people probably agree that they would rather have a Buck Allen over Kerwin Williams. I don't disagree, Scotty, but Kerwin Williams, he went in my league last night and one David Johnson owner already owned Kerwin Williams. In the other league, Kerwin Williams is out there on the waiver wire. How much do you think he went for?
Out of 100 budget?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say $18. In my startup dynasty, which is very, very deep, Kerwin Williams was the only running back available out there, really. He went for 32 out of 100.
Okay.
I actually drafted Buck Allen late.
That's wow. Great.
Yeah.
That's
why would you do that?
Well, why would you do that?
It was a very deep draft, like 26 round draft.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
No problem here. All right. How much do you think Kerwin Williams went for?
Kerwin Williams in a $100 cap probably goes for 13.
Okay.
I'm going to say that the David Johnson owner was very nervous. I'm going to say $27.
Kerwin Williams went for $12. Right on the money here again. Is that a fair price for him?
Yeah, it's a fair price for him. He's going to be in a situation where it's more than likely going to be a timeshare, splitting carries. So, and that's kind of what, you know, throughout the course of the draft season, people that had one-on-one, they'd be like, okay, well, who's the backup? I'd be like, if it goes to a backup situation, it's going to be a timeshare. You're not really going to be able to focus in on one guy. So, first of all, when did the Broncos sign Jonathan Williams?
The Broncos signed him on the practice squad before the season started.
I'm talking about the Bills, Jonathan Williams.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, before the season, I'm like, wait a minute.
I thought that Arizona would be interested in him. They could have plucked him off the practice squad, but you know, it didn't happen.
Another running back that's out there. I can't think. It's not D'Angelo Williams. It's somebody else. He came to my mind last night. I'm like, why haven't they nobody given him a shot to get picked up? But
Ryan Matthews.
No, it's not Ryan, man. He's a bum. It came to my mind earlier, and I'll refresh and figure it out in a little bit.
Interestingly enough, I expected. Kind of like you, Matt, when it came to Buck Allen, people would way overspend at some point, and someone would go in the mid-30s. I felt the same for Kerwin Williams, even though they signed Chris Johnson, etc., as I mentioned before. The person that got Kerwin Williams was me. I wound up getting Kerwin Williams.
That's a nice bid.
At $12. I was like, listen, if I'm getting a dude at $12, I'm fine. out of 100. I feel very comfortable with that. But so those are the big ones, right? I don't know if it's Tariq Cohen one. We'll do that tomorrow. I'm sure Tariq Cohen is available for one of you guys. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I do want to go over some of the other players that people bid on this week and find out how much and how interested they were in certain ones. You'll be impressed. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning next.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Hi, I'm Joey Gallo, and you're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
So back here now, Roto Experts in the Morning. The running back Corey couldn't think of was Tim Hightower, as we discussed during the break. Okay, so I named some of the big names that were out there. Let me continue on. That the names that, you know, I think everyone will find interesting. Corey, your boy Alex Smith has a monster week one game.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. The person that has Cam Newton as their starting quarterback is the one that bid on him.
Okay.
And the one that, I mean, he's the one that got him, I should say.
Okay.
How much do you think he went for?
17.
He went for $27.
It's too much for Alex Smith.
It's way too much for Alex Smith.
It's too much for Alex Smith. That's not a good bid.
Sam Bradford went for zero, by the way.
I'm about to say, where does Sam Bradford go for? Sam Bradford's the guy that is the quarterback to pick up.
I agree, especially because... especially because I was looking at this
does
yesterday.
Does that work, Bay?
The Vikings' schedule is very, very fair to quarterbacks, and that this offense should sustain pretty well, from what I'm seeing. So, Sam Bradford probably got that one on $0 compared to Alex Smith's 20 cents.
That's the game of the week for me. I want to see Minnesota at Pittsburgh. I want to see how that
should be some fantasy fireworks in that one.
I think it might be a defensive struggle, actually. I mean, there's a lot of playmakers on both sides of the ball, but the Steelers' defense is a lot better. Like,
yeah,
I was
but that
saying.
Secondary didn't look so good. There was a lot of drop passes.
Audie Burns.
Yeah.
You know, what's that guy for the Seahawks cut? Kaysen
Williams, yeah. But, you know, the front seven's going to get a lot of pressure, I think, and that, you know, that'll protect the secondary somewhat. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I don't think it's going to be a low-scoring game. Maybe somewhere in the middle, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, you know, that'll be a physical ball game.
Yeah, makes sense, Scott.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a fun one for sure.
You found that out.
Let me continue on.
Shanks are out.
Kenny Golladay was out there.
Now,
Minichon.
This is where it gets a little bit different because now you got a position player that comes out and scores two touchdowns. He was a preseason darling. I think we can see bids for Minitron up in the 35 to 45 range.
Okay, Scott?
Yeah, I'm pretty much with Corey. I'd probably say 37.
I'd say 33.
Minitron for $16.
Wow. That's good right there. That's a steal right there.
This just, you know.
You're right. There's no science.
It's like, you know, throwing a
dart. Like you said, there's no science to it, Matt.
Blindfolded.
Yeah. Minitron went for 16. Mark Heasley went for 15.
Yeah, and I'd rather have Minichon.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
No doubt about it. I just found that interesting. Literally just $1 separated them. How much, Matt, do you think your boy Nelson Aguilar went for?
I don't know how he's my boy, but I'll say $7. He really, you know, I think that's more than enough. But he probably went 10, but I'll say 7.
Scott?
I'm going to say 9.
You're going to say 9. Corey?
11.
On the money. $11 exactly. I bid 4. I felt very happy if I was going to get him at 4. It went for $11 on the money.
Now, the team... Sorry.
Yep. This is the team. The team that wound up picking him up lost David Johnson here. It wasn't the team that lost Allen Robinson, but it was the team that lost David Johnson. He picked up Aguilar. He picked up Lee. Both of these guys didn't pick up any running backs.
Yeah, I think that's too much. He's a dollar guy. And he's going to be back on the waiver wire in no time.
Probably so.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about
Probably
it.
Probably so. What I found really interesting, actually, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later on in the program, defenses. And I want to talk about defenses you want to stream, like I said, later on in the show. And very interestingly, two defenses, like, went for significant amount. Significant being relative, of course. If a defense goes for more than a dollar or two, I think it's significant. You had Arizona go for $6 this week. They play in the Indianapolis. Yep. Remember, yep. And you had Baltimore after the performance against Cincinnati. Baltimore went for $6 as well.
Yeah, there's going to be some probable turnovers and sacks with Kaiser. So, you know, that's a good pickup. I'm probably going to start checking the prices for daily for those guys this week. Like, I'm already thinking about my lineup at rotoexperts.com/DKMS, where you can play free fantasy football against us for a great cause and win Super Bowl tickets. I'm thinking I definitely want to get Kerwin Williams and maybe the Arizona defense in there.
What do you? I mean, they're not a good defense overall, but due to the matchup, Oakland this week, they're home versus the Jets.
They played well last week.
Like too. I said, we'll talk about streaming defenses in a little bit.
Well, yeah, I was just curious that nobody would bid on them.
Oakland did go for $2.
Oh, okay.
They did go. Yep. Not the $6, but they did go for $2. An interesting matchup, as you said. Alan Hearns went for $2. I like that. I bid $2, lost out on waiver priority. And the last one here in this particular league that went was Paul Richardson, Scotty. He went for $1 to me.
Oh, that's nice bargain for you. Right. For good bench depth there.
For a dollar, why not?
You mentioned Richardson, like the only startling cut, that's the wrong word. Just the one cut that piqued me in one of my leagues, like CJ Procise was already cut.
Sure.
But I just looked at my team in that league, and I have no room for him.
Yeah, no, that's another interesting one, yeah. I think, to see cut at this point. In the other league, I kind of look at some waiver additions here. Including myself, you had Oaken go for $1. You had Matt Breida go to the Carlos Hyde owner here, as you said.
Makes sense.
I wasn't really going to get in on that. How much do you think, going back to you, Corey, how much do you think Charles Clay went for this week?
He probably should have went for 50 cent because you're only going to get a half of a quarter out of him before the time he gets hurt. Charles Clay in a $100 cap?
Yes, sir.
It's probably an $8 buy.
$8 buy.
I'm going to say $5.
$5. Matty?
$7.
I picked up Charles Clay for $2 this morning.
Nice.
For $2 this morning. Nice. He's my starting tight end, by the way.
He's going to be a starter?
Yeah. Hunter Henry happened.
Oh, yeah. People are worried about Hunter Henry. People are worried about him.
I didn't drop Hunter Henry, but I'm starting Charles Clay. I started Evan Ingram last week. This week I'm going with Charles Clay. I think Charles Clay is just...
The involvement is going to be there as long as he is there.
Precisely. Yes. Precisely. And hopefully by the time he gets injured, Antonio Gates will be injured as well.
Yeah.
That's kind of what
that's
I'm...
nice.
Yeah, well, I mean, San Diego really just didn't use the tight end.
They play in Los Angeles now. Thank you very much.
Los Angeles. Like whether it's for the blocking ability they want to do against the Broncos or not.
Yeah, Nelson Aguilar for go a little bit less in this league at $7. Alan Hearns go for a little bit more at $6. I'm going to pick the Mike Tolbert here at $3. There's nothing really crazy else in this league. Everything else was kind of fair. No real issues for me.
You know who I think is a sneaky play? A dollar guy.
Sure.
That you can probably get off the wire tonight. It's Tyler Irvin. They don't have nobody.
Wait a minute. You're missing Deontay Foreman.
They don't have nobody in the passing game. And Tyler Irvin is an excellent pass catcher. So I think they might... I wouldn't be surprised if they started using him in the slot and stuff like that, Tyler Irvin. They really have DeAndre Hopkins and nothing else.
So coming up next hour, I have a feeling Matt's going to dominate this game. But coming up next hour, I have all the running back snap counts from this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a little preview if you want to do Houston. I have Houston in front of me. Like, to feel like, all right, where were they, right? Like, what did they do when it came to pass catching for running back, as you mentioned? Between Lamar Miller, Tyler Irvin, and Deontay Foreman, your number here is 76. How would you split it between? How did you think the Texans split it between those three guys?
51 for your boy LM. Probably maybe 8 for Irvin. And how many is it?
76 is the
60 for Son, LM.
Yeah.
And then maybe...
You have 16 left.
Okay, 11 for Irvin, 5 for Foreman.
Okay.
Scott? I would say 55 for Miller, which would leave 21. And I'll say 12 for Irvin and 9 for Foreman.
Ready?
How many? 76?
Yes, sir.
I'll say 51 for Miller, 18 for Irvin, and 7 for Foreman.
So you guys were relatively close on that, especially Corey. Lamar Miller had 63 snaps mm-hmm. on Sunday. Your boy Tyler Irvin had exactly 11.
Mm-hmm.
And Deontay Foreman had just 2. Now, of course, Bill O'Brien immediately said, you know, we got to get Deontay Foreman more involved. But Tyler Irvin, he 11 snaps total. I mean, if you get Deontay Foreman more involved, you're really going to get in on the Tyler Irvin thing?
Who's going to be the pass catcher for this, for Deshaun Watson? See what I'm saying?
Especially especially Thursday without a single tight end. Zero tight end.
Outside of a wide receiver. Outside of Hopkins, do they have a wide receiver?
Well, I guess Braxton Miller's around, right?
Yeah. Is Bruce Ellington healthy? He got hurt last week.
Again?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel bad for him.
By the way, and I'll run this by you, cause I'm just thinking about this. You know, watching the Giants and just like ooh. Paul Perkins, you know, runs very flat-footed, sure. Not evasive. Every time Orleans Darkwa gets the ball, he just runs better than Paul Perkins. It's like, I'm thinking like, you know, throwing a flyer out there in deeper league or two on Orleans Darkwa.
Why would you do that?
I told you this summer that Orleans Darkwa was running back to own with the Giants. I've been pretty steadfast on that.
Yeah, you're right on that, yeah.
The problem is the offensive line sucks. And
it does.
It's like I feel the same way about the Giants as I do Seattle. I don't want to get involved because the running back, the offensive line is too terrible to get myself involved with.
Everybody's picking up Chris Carson, it seems, or asking me about Chris Carson because he was the one guy who really ran decently last week. And you know, I feel like if there's one guy who may end up starting and you know could get some goal line work and maybe for some depth, you know, I'm throw a dollar or two out there.
Yeah, but
the
difference between Carson's and Darkwa is the Giants don't really score rushing touchdowns. You know, I think Seattle will
attempt
the rushing touchdowns. The Giants will go 3 wide inside the 5. So that's where I see the thing about Tyler Irvin. Corey brings up a good point. Somewhat of possible interest if none of these tight ends are going to play. The only reason I have him in any places is like draft champions in like that last 34th, 35th round was because Jason Braddock was pretty.
And Jason Braddock was talking about his receiving skills.
Mm-hmm.
His skills as a receiver.
Jason Braddock wasn't so on.
I know you were going to say that.
I don't think Deshaun Watson was that great neither, though.
He wasn't. He absolutely was not.
I mean, people just
gave one drive and then not after that.
Correct, but he will be starting Thursday night for Houston against Cincinnati. We'll take a break. We'll go over some more headlines from yesterday here next on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Appreciate you joining us as always. You're going over the waiver wires, taking a look at what is going on here. Some other bids I really like. Zach Miller being picked up for nada. I thought that was a solid bid.
I think I like Deion Sims a little better.
You've been on Deion Sims for a while.
I think I like Sims a little better.
I was with you, but I don't know if I'm seeing it. I think Miller's the guy, and plus they got Adam Shaheen, too, the rookie. They want to work him into the red zone.
I think it's enough for all of them. The rookie I'm not tripping off of. I think it's enough for Sims and
Miller.
I see
where you're going, though, because their tight ends might be better than their wide receivers.
Exactly.
It's possible. I mean, it's very possible. I own Kendall Wright. I haven't dropped Kendall Wright yet?
I saw him dropped in 2 leagues last night.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not gonna drop him. You were talking about Tyler Irvin a second ago, Corey, and you were saying how just you thought that given Deshaun Watson being the starter, given that every tight end is hurt, that Tyler Irvin just someone's gotta catch the ball other than DeAndre Hopkins. And it makes sense. But would you ever start Tyler Irvin Thursday when it kinda is warranted? No way.
I would want to get him on my team. You probably get him this week for a buck, see what he does this week. And then maybe, you know, evaluate from there. If he has to be the first guy to get cut a week or two later, so be it. But I definitely think he's worth a dollar just to see if they want to start to use him as a pass catcher.
Would you rather own Tyler Irvin or Deontay Foreman?
Deontay Foreman.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. You wrote something during the break, though, that I think is worth talking about. It's something I wanted to get into in a little bit. But, yeah, we'll bring it now because you brought it up, Corey. And that was Brandon Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
You said, who would we rather start, Brandon Marshall or Sterling Shepard, given Odell Beckham very well could be out once again on Sunday? The entire table's immediate reaction for you during the break was Sterling Shepard. Mm-hmm. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, it does, because you would think that Brandon Marshall would be the no-doubt, rock-solid second option on that team. I was reading, I saw where they was asking McAdoo, like, yo, what happened? And I think it's more of a case of, I think you mentioned it, the routes that Brandon Marshall runs, they take more time to develop, and Eli Manning is working with a limited amount of time, and that's why you're not seeing those routes to Brandon Marshall come together. I think the NFL average was like something like 2.8 or something like that, and Eli's around that 2.4, 2.5 before he has to get rid of the ball, and that doesn't really suit Brandon Marshall's game, you know. And then the kid Ingram, even though he's a move tight end, he has to block because the Giants' O-line is terrible.
Correct. I mean, he's got to block. Red Ellison's got to block. They all
like,
got
to
block.
They can, like...
They might have to go to DJ Fluker this week, too, at right tackle.
Potentially. I think it's way too early to figure that out. I don't think DJ Fluker's the next guy up at right tackle either. I think that Roto World report is wrong, to be honest with you. He's just not the next guy. They don't see him as a tackle. They see him as a guard. And they've been pretty clear with that. I think Brent Jones would get the first opportunity.
Fluker's played a lot of tackle in his career.
Yeah, the Giants haven't used him at tackle at all in training camp and in practice and whatnot. So I don't think that he would be the guy. Nevertheless, I think Brandon Marshall's an interesting case because I want to know how far. I have a couple of these that I want to do next hour. How far we are willing to go with Brandon Marshall. We all said Sterling Shepard. And the guys that I had listed here are like way higher than Sterling Shepard. So stop me when there's somebody you would rather have Brandon Marshall than, okay? Jarvis Landry, Pierre Garçon, Chris Hogan.
I'd rather have Brandon Marshall.
You'd rather Brandon Marshall? Really? Yeah. I did not see that coming.
I'm just not buying it on the Hogan thing.
Hogan's going to have a big game this week.
Corey is just dead silent right now, which is remarkable to me from where you were just 1 week ago at this time.
I'd rather have Chris Hogan.
You would?
Yeah.
See? Look at that. 1 week. And you'd rather have Chris Hogan.
I'd rather have Chris Hogan.
He's going to have some game this week, says Matt Mojica, against the Saints. It's annoying because they play in a couple of leagues.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Take into consideration, last week he lined up on the side of Marcus Peters.
Sure.
Okay, so that has to be considered. They were not throwing the ball to that side of the field. He basically eliminated that. That's why I don't know why the hell he ran the ball three times.
Here's the thing, though. Everybody expects New England to come back this week, pedal to the metal, and go out there and show that dominant offense to the Saints. If they don't, it's trouble.
I agree.
Would you say that? Would everybody agree?
They don't be huge trouble because that Saints defense is very, very young. A lot of change. Not only a lot of change, but just so vulnerable.
If they don't come out there,
they don't do that. Look, I think Hogan will have a good game this week, but I think I'm at least hopeful that when Marshall comes back, that he's going to be more consistent than Hogan in the longer run.
If you watch the Monday night game, the Saints defense played pretty damn well that first half.
They did.
Dalvin Cook did absolutely nothing.
They bottled him up front. They played good,
and then Diggs was wide open on that play late in the.
Up front, they played good. The secondary was a mess.
Secondary's always a mess in New Orleans. Yeah. So there you go. So your little split on Chris Hogan and Brandon Marshall, which I find interesting. We continue. Would you rather Brandon Marshall or Tyrell Williams?
I'll stay with Williams here, but it's close.
I'm the same.
So you're going Williams too? Yeah.
That's like a push for me.
Yeah, it's. I could go that route too.
I find it like you had that decision on Sunday. Would you? I know it's Wednesday, so you don't want to make a lineup decision yet. But like Tyrell Williams, who did lead this team in receptions here on Monday night, versus Brandon Marshall, who was targeted like once.
Well, let me ask you a question for this game. Are we doing for rest of the season or for just this week?
It's regular rest of the season. Okay. It's rest of the season.
Yeah.
I think the question is for when it comes to Brandon Marshall, it's like how much of what we saw is going to be a true representation of the season, right? Like, is Brandon Marshall done? Like, was it the fact that the offensive line stunk? Was it the fact that Brandon Marshall couldn't get open? Was it the fact that he's old? Is it the fact that Eli couldn't get the ball? Like, what was
I think the fact that Odell Beckham is not on the field is what's
yeah,
really hurting.
We can't
if you
read
put
it
Odell
until,
on the field, yeah. then I like him a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, because
more.
If, like what Corey would say, like, if. If Odell comes back and then Marshall isn't doing anything, then we have a big problem.
But it's so interesting you guys both say that because until this year, literally, Brandon Marshall was always the number one wide receiver on his team. Pretty much no questions asked. Right? Like, he was the guy. Now he came over, and it was when he signed with the Giants in early March, the thought process and the statements that we all made was like, wow, the Giants are a perfect complement to Odell, but they have two number one wide receivers on this team. Well, Brandon Marshall, now we're all saying we got to wait for Odell to come back. Did Brandon Marshall just go from this number one wide receiver who, in fantasy last year, remember, literally in 2016, we were taking him as a wide receiver one.
I so, wasn't.
At the end of the first round, I saw him going in draft yeah, last year.
That's a real thing.
His ADP was between that 12 to 15
correct.
Range last year.
Correct.
But as Matt pointed out, though, you know, and I think he was talking about Michael Salvino's study about how these big wide receivers just break down at some point. And last year, it just wasn't the bad quarterback, which was horrible, awful, but he was breaking down physically as well.
But I still find it very interesting, and I'm not saying he didn't break down physically, Scott, that we're all saying Brandon Marshall needs Odell Beckham.
Well, he's also 33 years old or something like that. He's not the Brandon Marshall of a few years ago. I know in, what was it, 2015 and 2014, he had really good seasons and stuff like that. But, you know, the fall could be quick, and the Giants don't have a good line. Sure. Eli was garbage last year.
Mm-hmm.
So Odell Beckham is the key to this offense. There's no questions to be asked.
The offensive line, but they still need an offensive line to give them the chance to throw
but
the ball.
But they could hit Odell on a quick slant
no
and other
question.
Things.
Obviously so. Tyrell Williams, the one, that one was interesting to me, only because that we had a lot of question marks about him at this time last week. Just how much playing time he will get, how active he will be. I thought it was good to see that he led this team in receptions on Monday.
Yeah, I think what helped with that, too, was that they were down with 24-7, 21-7 or something
sure.
like that.
Sure. Let me continue. I have a couple more here with Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall, Jeremy Maclin.
I'm going to go Maclin.
They're not going to throw a lot, but I think when they do, Macklin's going to be the guy.
Jeremy Maclin.
Okay. Everyone says Maclin. I know you're going to say what to say to this one. Corey Coleman or Brandon Marshall?
Corey Coleman.
Everyone loves Corey Coleman now.
Amazing. I mean, he's what's his name's boy. As long as Kaiser's going to be quarterbacking, you got to like Coleman.
I got him in the GST, Greg.
And Coleman's got to stay healthy.
We got to see that part. That part is yet to be seen. You know what I'm saying? That part is yet to be seen. But at right now, his arrow is trending. His arrow is pointing up with Corey Coleman.
Brandon Marshall or Randall Cobb?
Randall Cobb, easy. I think Randall Cobb is back in the mix.
You think he's back?
I think he's back in the mix. You saw it towards the end of the season last year as he started to get healthy, especially late in the season and in the playoffs. He looked amazing in the playoffs last year.
Now, I totally agree. I think you've been on Randall Cobb the whole time. Does this give you any kind of trepidation about Adams?
It does.
I think it has to.
I worry about Adams a little bit. I don't think Adams is going to finish as a one this year.
Listen, I said it on Monday here, Overreaction Monday, whatever, Monday morning quarterbacking. I'm telling you, I think the Adams thing was all Richard Sherman. I really do. We talked about, Marcus Peters, when it comes to Chris Hogan, I'm going to say the same thing with Richard Sherman, Devontae Adams. He played on the same side the entire game.
All three of his catches, they moved him to the other side.
That's a great stat.
This is the guy that owns them 60% of the league, so I'm optimistic, too. I want to be optimistic. But I
think there's ultimately going to be enough to go around.
I don't think Adams is going to fall off a cliff and never be heard from again. But I do think he's good. Like, I think my final ranking, I had him 20th as wide receiver. I know some people were having him top 10 or right at that thing. I think that might have been a little aggressive.
I think I had him at about 13. What I'm saying is he's not going to finish 13. I think he can finish inside the top 24. He will not finish as a one this year.
Listen, I mean, I believe he got off to a slow start last year as well, so I'm not.
He's on the waiver wire.
Right. So I'm not exactly, like I said, freaking out about this one because I really believe in the Richard Sherman thing, and we'll see if Randall Cobb can stay healthy as well.
Randall Cobb could be on the waiver wire in 10-team leagues.
Could be. How much would you spend on him?
In a 10-team league, Randall Cobb on the waiver wire?
In a lot of those 10-team leagues, situation. Too, though,
go ahead.
They might not be fab because that's like an ESPN, NFL.com type league.
I'm in a 10. Well, that dude, he was drafted in that league. That league is a 10-team league, but the smart dude's in that one, so I'm not. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I have one more. The other two are very obvious now that the Monday night game has already happened. Jordan Matthews or Brandon Marshall?
I'll go Brandon Marshall.
Marshall.
Still got to go Marshall.
I found the cut line there. I found it. Took me a while, but I found it. When I come back, we'll talk more here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. So if you're looking at the schedule, and you're looking at some of these revenge games this weekend because you want to set a lineup in Daily Fantasy. You want to go to Fantasy Draft and participate in our free roll. I know Scott has you covered, but let me talk about this free roll that we got going on here, partnering with DKMS. Now, DKMS is a fantastic organization that tries to legitimately save lives. And I don't really mean that in a using hyperbole. I really use it because it's true. They want you to donate bone marrow, and in order to do that, you got to register. And to register, you just go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS, and you have the ability to find out more information about it. The entire process to find out if you are a candidate to be a bone marrow donor, super simple. You literally just swab your cheeks for like 30 seconds each, you send them in, and you're done. It's that simple. I did it over on the Fantasy Football Best Friends Forever just 2 weeks ago. It's a really, really simple process. You're not guaranteed. You're not forced to do anything. It's just to see if you're a candidate. You become a candidate, and they find you as a match to be a donor. They give you a call, and if you want to say yes, say yes. If you don't, you don't. But I think it's worth reading into because having the ability to save lives, you know, is obviously very, very important because somebody else live on the line. I think that's called the mitzvah. I believe. Yes, yes. Indeed. But if you do the mitzvah, we have a mitzvah for you because you can play in a daily fantasy game with us, the Roto Experts, each and every week here at Fantasy Draft. You go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS, scroll to the bottom of the page, and that's your link to our free roll. That's right, it's entirely free. And if you want to participate and you want to play, well, that's great because it's fun. You get to play against all of us. But the even better part is what's in it for you. And that is the opportunity to qualify for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. It's not hard. There's no, like, secret rules coming or anything like that. Ultimately, here's how it works. You play. If you win any of the 16 weeks of free roll games at rotoexperts.com/DKMS, go to the bottom. The game is hosted on Fantasy Draft. If you win any of the first 16 weeks, you qualify to play in week 17 against the other 16 winners. If you win that, it's literally, you have a 1 in 16 chance to win. You go to the Super Bowl. No questions asked. No small print. No fine line. That's it. You go to the Super Bowl. If you win any of the first 16 weeks, and you win week 17, that is it. RotoExperts.com/DKMS for more information on that game. And, of course, for more information on the fantastic fantastic people at DKMS.
Yeah, and you check out the stock report on rotoexperts.com from Michael Waterloo. He said that, you know, he's already looking at setting his lineup. When you go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS, where you can register for the game near the bottom of the page, and he said that he's got Amari Cooper in there already.
You got Amari Cooper in there already. You know, I know, Scott, none of this bothers you, but I never know what to do. So Amari Cooper, the reason I bring this up is because it's Amari Cooper. So in one of my main leagues, I have Amari Cooper. My other main league, I'm playing Amari Cooper. I don't know what to root for.
It doesn't matter. Just, you know, the way I look at that is you can't control that he's on the other team. You know, you want him to do good for your own team. You just hope on the other side that Cooper does good, but his rest of his team doesn't. You know,
it's so hard.
Rooting is not going to control an outcome anyway. Well, that's the way I look at it.
It'll let me feel like
I just see what happens, and if my guy does something, I go, yeah, that's good. You know, but I don't sit there pulling for anybody, especially when people like us are in so many leagues. Things will balance out.
I'm literally playing Amari Cooper and Jameis Winston. There's my starting quarterback, my starting wide receiver.
That's also why I don't look at the other roster. It'll drive me crazy.
Well, that's not fun, now is it, Scotty? I like to know who I'm playing and who I should root against.
But I don't think rooting has an effect on the outcome.
It's a part of the process. It's part of the fun
if that's what he enjoys.
And I do enjoy it.
It'll drive me crazy. I won't do it.
Well, that's fine. You also want to diversify your rosters. You be done again.
It'll naturally diversify itself.
Well, of course it will.
Yeah.
We take a break. When we come back, more! An hour number two for the Roto Experts in the Morning.